right, y'all, it's that time again. Welcome to the Flex Zone, the only place that can give you sports how you want it, when you need it. This is your boy, Mr. One and Only, Drizzy Dre. Yes, I'm sitting in the chair, y'all. Mikel is on duty, and I got the fellas with me. But before we do all that, we got to take care of some house rules. Go to our Facebook page, The Flex Zone, like it. Follow us, comment on Twitter, Instagram at TheFlexZone1. And if you have any questions, ideas, or possibly want to be a guest, send us an email to TheFlexZone1@gmail.com. The first segment of this show, we're going to be discussing the latest in sports news and concluding with what we do best, y'all, here, the NFL. All right, I got my boys D, Byron, Cravante, fellas, what's good?
What's going on? This week of football was crazy, man.
we gonna switch it up a little bit, y'all. Tell the people how they can find you, Cravante.
At Cravante Herd, that's CREVONTEHURDE. That's Facebook and Twitter. At Cravante _Herd and at Instagram.
Byron.
Well, just like the Ravens, sometimes you don't have to search for me long. At
Andy
underscore TV.
And Andy.
Check us out on the Twitter, Die Sporting Net, and on Instagram, DMARUSD. And you can check our picks out that we was either naughty or not.
Well, this is the Christmas spirit, and we're getting ready for the holidays, y'all. But before we actually get into all the Christmas stuff that's going on, we want to talk about somebody who may have been a little naughty. Richard Sherman calls out his head coach, Pete Carroll, for throwing the ball on the 1 yard line. Do y'all agree with him calling out his head coach despite them winning the game 24-3?
I agree with him. I agree.
Wait, hold up. He did it
on the Thursday night game. He called out Pete Carroll for throwing the ball on the 1 yard line.
Oh, I agree. Stupid.
Oh my gosh, man! Listen, Pete Carroll, what are you doing? Are you trying to look like a mad genius again? I don't understand. Like, we all saw this story before, and we all saw this movie before. We've seen the previews. We've seen the post views. Like, it's not good. You're not supposed to throw the ball that short, you know what I'm saying, with that short of a field. Like, that's not what you're supposed to do. And Christian Sherman, I mean, if anybody would be the person to call him out, it would have to be somebody with the clout that Richard Sherman had.
Byron, let me hear your thoughts about this.
Well, we know Richard Sherman doesn't hold his tongue for no man. And like Cravante, he was talking about the Super Bowl, but I guess in a game against the Rams, team that's bad as they are, you kind of wonder where this came from. Maybe this was put up for a few weeks, maybe a little frustration with this team. But I think that this team is going to have to rally together. And Richard Sherman is one of the leaders. And I guess wherever he leads, they follow. So he's definitely the voice of the team, to say the least. But he's a pretty good player, too.
And D, you said you agree with him calling out Pete Carroll.
I definitely do. It's real simple. Keep it simple, stupid. You have 1 yard line, just run it. We're going to get into it with the Ravens later. Keep it simple. You see up, double figure leads, just run the football. It's not that hard to do.
Man, oh, man. Look, I think that's a conversation. You can call him out, but I think that's a conversation that you guys need to have behind closed doors. Don't let the media see all that. I mean, you know, we already know that there's turmoil, but every time something like this occurs, we're going to reflect back to the Super Bowl. And despite that, the fact that they could have had multiple Super Bowls and actually probably been back-to-back champions, and it was the dumbest decision in Super Bowl history, this is a conversation that needs to be held behind closed doors. And usually you see it on the quarterback and the head coach maybe getting into it, not usually from a defensive player and the head coach getting into it. I think the Ravens did something similar like this a few years ago, though, with Brian Billick, if I'm not mistaken. Was that right, D or Byron?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, they had a situation. I know it was Ray Lewis tonight, but something on offense was going haywire, and they just went off. Went off on them.
Yeah, man, that's not that wasn't a good move on Richard Sherman's part, because him being the smart, like, to allude to Byron's point, very, very smart guy, very intelligent brother. You can't do – you know how the media is. You know how the media is. You can't do that openly.
Well, y'all, we're going to actually – we're going to keep it in the NFL, but we're going to transition to Michael Floyd, who was cut by the Cardinals but picked up by the Patriots.
Look at that goal.
Was this a good pickup by the New England Patriots?
Oh, it was awesome. It's awesome, man. That is a gift. That's an early Christmas gift, man. Like, Michael Floyd is still a very it's weird, because it's some games, and sometimes he can look like a great receiver, and then he disappears a lot. But in this Patriots offense, if he figured the playbook well, shoot, man, he may have a Super Bowl on his hands now. And look at that. He went from the Cardinals to the Patriots. What a come up.
Yeah, go ahead and weigh in. I know y'all dying to.
I mean, I tell you, the Patriots needed more receiver help. He's perfect for them. It's too bad he got in trouble. And like Bronte said, he went from the Cardinals, that just got eliminated yesterday from the playoffs, to the top seed in the AFC, boy. He should be ready to rock and roll by the time the divisional round comes.
This story, yeah, right itself, like, how do you – it's like you do something bad, get cut, like you don't have a job, and then all of a sudden you get the best, arguably probably the best job in the NFL as a receiver. Right. That's crazy how that happens.
I like Jamie Collins, which got rewarded the opposite way.
The exact opposite way, because he's not going anywhere, and it's like, gosh, do we need to do something bad to get good results? Like, how do we do this?
What they say, like, sometimes you can't control how the chips fall. His fellow wide receiver, Larry Fitzgerald, wasn't too happy about them cutting him. He said that Mike is like my brother. I've known Mike since he was 13 years old. We come from the same place, Minneapolis. I love him dearly, like any other family member. I never turn my back on him no matter what. I'm going to support him. I saw him yesterday. I'm going to see him again today. It's important during these times to support people when they're going through some stuff. Clearly, Larry Fitzgerald isn't too happy about the departure from the Cardinals over to the New England Patriots. What are you guys' thoughts about Larry Fitzgerald's comments about Michael Floyd?
Don't worry, he'll be on the Patriots after this year too, because he ain't gonna want to be in Arizona. I know it's thought that he may retire, but I think he's still got a lot left in the tank, and he's looking around at Arizona at an underachieving ball club, saying, "Hey, I mean, I need a shot at a Super Bowl." Got the one, didn't win it, even though the play looked good against the Steelers. But we remember the big Ben to San Antonio Holmes. But, I mean, getting Michael Floyd, like the last question you said, Dre, with Gronk hurt, you now get another receiver who can occupy the middle of the field with Bennett. LeGarrette Blount having a career year, 15 touchdowns. So you get that. I mean, I'm sure Bill Belichick would love having Larry Fitzgerald. And not only on the field, but to hear him talk. Larry Fitzgerald, one of the most stand-up guys in any sport. So if he's upset, it's a problem.
Oh, no, most definitely, man. And it's crazy. Now, let's move to Bill Belichick. God, why does this gold keep falling in his lap? I don't understand. Why? It's like, when you make your decisions as a football team, you have to think about the best team in the NFL. You have to. And that guy, Bill Belichick, you have to. Like, yo, if I do this, how could this hurt me in the end? And even though the Cardinals aren't making the playoffs, which is probably why they really didn't care about the decision, they didn't think about this. They didn't think this all the way through.
Well, I'm just laughing at Byron talking about he going to join the New England Patriots too.
That's so funny, but it's so true. He's probably going to be a New England Patriot by the time his career ends.
Well, in my opinion, he should have did that years ago. But we're going to move on to
it's a thing called loyalty. Loyalty, Dre. A few people still have it.
Yeah, loyalty didn't lead him to any rings either. So,
wait a minute. Ooh, wait a minute.
It usually don't, though. But you know what? It usually don't.
So, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to start off with Byron for this next topic.
Oh, boy.
The Jaguars fired their head coach, Gus Bradley. Damn it, Byron, you could not catch a break this year. You said all season, you said the playoff bound Jacksonville Jaguars, and this
he
team.
Said he said it's going to be a division. Oh, no, he said he would make a playoff. I forgot which one he said.
You know, I think he said both, to be honest. oh, my gosh, I wish I would have had the tape to play it back, because I should have played the tape back
we
for this one.
We have to start doing that, man.
But my goodness, Byron, I got to start with you, brother. What are your thoughts about this move, man? The season didn't even end.
And that's the scary part. Gus Bradley, his record, y'all, I mean, I'm sure y'all probably know for yourself, but 14-48.
That's the worst losing percentage in NFL history, I believe.
Exactly. Just not getting it done. I can't defend him. Blake Bortles looks bad. Allen Robinson is MIA. It's an APB out for him. I know he's on the team, but I haven't seen him catch a pass all year. It's just been tough. I guess the only bright spot I see is Jalen Ramsey. He got his first pick yesterday, but they're going to probably bring in, we hear murmurs of Tom Coughlin maybe, but I think they need a young coach, Kyle Shanahan, maybe that can re-galvanize this organization and bring some life to it and give a spark back to this offense. Is Blake Bortles the quarterback? He's shown flashes, but they never think some good young pieces. I just really don't know what the problem was this year.
Gravante, you know, I know you'd wait. I know you'd.
You already know. Man, once I got the notification, I immediately hit our group chat. And I said, man, he ain't even making the Black Friday, not Black Friday, Black Monday.
Right.
Dang, man. Like, gosh, I mean, his record is pretty bad. That's not even 30% of his wins. He's not even winning 30% of his games. So, I mean, it was due for a change. And they had the game well in hand at one point, and then all of a sudden, I turned the game off, and they lose. Tom Savage just putting
– They lost.
We'll get to Brock Osweiler a little bit later. Tom Savage gets into the game and they win.
They lost to the dude from the Wonder Years, man. I mean, come on, man.
Oh my gosh, man! I was like, man, I guess the Jaguars got the upset on us. No, man, they still lost. I said, how is that possible? And you know what, Byron's point? It's really hard to pinpoint what's wrong with this team. I'm gonna just chalk it up to you. It's a lot of youth across the board on this team, including from quarterback to receivers to defense. And it's just going to take some time for them to get it together. It's probably time for a new face. But I'll probably pick a younger face, even though I'm hearing rumors about Tom Coughlin.
They're coming back. Second step. Nah, man.
Yeah, so, you know, that probably would be okay for them as far as them transitioning because, you know, he's been there before. But – I was thinking maybe more of a younger guy like Kyle Shanahan, maybe. But, you know, the L.A. position is also open, but that's not too sexy either.
Did you want
to
wait?
Gosh, he had to walk back from Houston to Jacksonville yesterday.
Well, you know my rule. Anytime you lose a game like that, you walk back.
or swim back, depending on where you're at.
Yeah, exactly. If you're in London, you swimming back.
You know what, though? I'm not going to be too hard on Byron. Of course, you know, we're having fun poking at him, but I'm going to start again with you, Byron. We're going to get off this NFL train, and we're going to talk about some NBA because, according to Byron, this is when the NBA season actually starts. So we have several games on Christmas Day, starting with the Celtics and the Knicks at noon, then the Bulls and the Spurs at – I'm sorry, Warriors and Cavaliers at 2:30, Bulls and Spurs at 5, Timberwolves and Thunder at 8, and then we conclude the night with the Clippers and the Los Angeles Lakers at 10:30. Any of these games you're looking forward to?
So I think we all know what everybody's looking forward to, Dre.
I was hoping maybe I would say another game besides the Warriors and the Cavs, but
the rematch, man. The rematch.
I mean, look at the other matchups. I mean, the Celtics and Knicks may have something, but the Celtics are a very quiet team, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and the Knicks are still on the they're doing surprisingly well, but it's no noise they made right there. The Bulls and Spurs is interesting, but obviously, by far, it's the Warriors and Cavs. We're looking for this rematch. We know that's going to be the NBA Finals, guys, and everybody knows that. And then we finish off tonight, the Clippers and the Lakers. Like, come on now.
Did the NBA do an injustice? Because usually over the past couple years, we've come accustomed to the NBA actually giving us really good games on Christmas Day. But the fact that Christmas Day falls on Sunday this year, do you think that the NBA kind of was just like, whatever about it, and just kind of chalked the L up to football? Because we do have have two football games that same day as well. But this is a tradition that we guys have normally been like, you know what, KD is playing, LeBron is playing, Steph is playing, Duncan, you know, Kobe. Like, we're used to good games on Christmas Day. These games stink outside of the Warriors and the Cavs.
I mean, pretty much the NBA going up against two blockbuster NFL matchups now. And that's why they put the Cleveland game at 2:30 to kind of be like, hey, let people watch the rematch of the finals. If we got a good game, one of these football games might be a blowout. They can come to the NBA on ESPN that night, but outside of that, yeah, I mean, they kind of had no choice here, man.
Yeah, I usually agree. Yeah, I just want to say usually the Christmas Day game is day games for the casual fans that really aren't hardcore NBA fans to tune in and say, oh, I got to watch this. But this year, like you said, Dre, not as many stars, household names maybe, outside of that Warriors-Cavs game. But hardcore NBA people are going to watch, but like you said, having to going up against the NBA with this playoff push gonna be tough.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that Timberwolves Thunder game may have a little bit of noise for the fact that the Timberwolves Karl-Anthony Towns. You know,
you're reaching. That's what you're doing right now.
I definitely agree. You're reaching, and Denver and Kansas City will be on NBC for Sunday Night Football. So. That's
going to
have a terrible rating.
Look, can you really blame me for reaching? No, I do like ball, y'all. So, I mean, you can't blame me.
No, I'm sorry. Hey, Dre, listen. Are you going to be watching basketball on Sunday?
No.
Exactly.
There you go. At the 4:30, you're not going to be watching the NBA, okay?
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're going to watch the Warriors cast and probably forget about the rest of the game. Because the Clippers and the Lakers really, like, people are not even going to stay up for that whole game. The Wolves, unfortunately, my Timberwolves, I want to start driving this train, but they're not there yet. The Thunder might blow them out, unfortunately. I like the way the Bulls are playing against the Spurs, but the Spurs are not an exciting team. You know what I'm saying? So there's no noise. There's no real noise being made there. So all the noise is being made at 2:30. Outside of that, it's football. Like, and that's not even. That's not to the point that it's Sunday. This is not a good slate of games.
Okay,
but unfortunately, there's not that many good. I hate to say it. It's not that many good basketball teams like there are in past years. Like there's not that many good caliber teams. Like it's all bunched up in like three or four teams. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But there are legit contenders. Come May and June.
All right.
You know
well,
what I'm saying? And now we when was the last time the Timberwolves played on Monday on Christmas Day?
All right.
Come on now. We're reaching bad. Now I'm used to Lakers playing on Christmas Day. Maybe not this late, but I'm used to the Lakers playing. Even though it's not the same Lakers team, but really the Timberwolves, we are reaching, man. Just reaching bad. And I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to be watching one game.
Okay, so we're talking about all these NBA games that are horrible, but let's switch gears a little bit and talk about the two games that are on Christmas Day. You got two rivalry divisional games, Ravens Steelers. Everybody's really going to look forward to that game at 4:30. Broncos Chiefs Sunday Night Football. Are we looking more forward to football this year because of the matchups and its divisional rival games?
Of course.
No doubt.
Of course, man. Especially the Ravens and Steelers. Come on, man. The Ravens and Steelers, I'd rather watch the Ravens and Steelers even more than the Warriors Cavs, honestly. Because the Warriors Cavs don't even mean nothing right now. I mean, it's going to be a good game, but it really don't mean nothing right now. But the Steelers and Ravens, that's going to be for a playoff spot. That's going to be for the division. Can't miss that. And it's probably, it's arguably the craziest division out in football. It may be in all of sports.
Byron, what are your thoughts?
Well, Steelers-Ravens, to me, is the best NFL rivalry we have, in my opinion. And I'm very intrigued to see the Cavs and Warriors play. I do like the dynamic of the two teams playing very well right now. But like we all agree, we'll see that in June, not too far down the road. So looking at this year, and like we said before we got on air, people's jobs are on the line on Sunday. You could see some massive changes possibly. Mike Tomlin, he's been questioned the past few years. John Harbaugh,
which is crazy.
For him.
Which is crazy.
Right.
That is crazy.
John Harbaugh, yeah. People calling for him. You know, Big Ben and that offense against the Ravens defense, Terrell Suggs. There's still a lore there. And then Pittsburgh, it's going to be ugly, nasty, and it's going to be some AFC North football. So anytime you get that on Christmas, it's kind of like a times two thing.
Yeah. And again, on top of that, it usually doesn't happen because how often does Christmas fall on Sunday?
What, every 7 years?
Something like that. It don't happen too often.
Yeah.
So that's going to be an extra boost. So you know there's been a little risk in the NFL not getting their numbers up. And then if it wasn't for the Cowboys, I don't even know where the Ravens would be.
I mean, you know, whatever. It is what it is.
See, Dre, they're not even excited. See, that's what I'm saying. Like,
right.
I can force you to reach it.
I think, guys, to be honest with you, the NBA might need to go back to just book two or three games a day on Christmas instead of this five slate, man. They might just need to go and retract back to that again.
I agree, especially with the competition.
Right, too much can make a good thing become a bad thing in the competition. Like you said, Cavante ain't there. I would go back to maybe three games. Two on ABC and maybe one on ESPN or TNT, depending on what day it falls on.
I agree.
All right.
3-5 is a bit much, especially starting at 12.
On a sad note, though, I hate to conclude this segment like this, but we have to. Unfortunately, guys, we had the passing of Craig Sager shortly before the NBA on TNT. What do you guys? I'm gonna start with D. Your thoughts about the passing of Craig Sager?
Well, you know, Craig Sager had that courageous fight with leukemia, and we thought he had beat it a couple times, and he kept coming back and he kept fighting, and it was fitting that he ended his career at the NBA Finals. ESPN and Turner was able to get together and have him do Game 6, and as much a lot of us didn't want Cleveland to win, it was fitting they won Game 5 because Game 6 was the only game he'd be able to do, and it was cool that he did it, and then he spoke at the ESPYs in the summertime, and just sad to see him go. It's sad to see that whole situation. If anybody seen TNT Thursday night, it was just sad. It was like the basketball games are just there, man, because you lost not only a great talent, but a great man. And it's just very disappointing. Our thoughts go out to his family and all his loved ones out there.
Byron?
Well, I know we don't have a lot of time, but from the outfits he wore to the interviews with KG, where KG said he's going to burn it, and just the great moments. And let's not forget, I think, if I could be wrong, but remember, Greg Popovich started this 1 and 2 word answers with Craig Sager a lot. So now you see a lot of Greg Popovich interviews with Craig Sager was hilarious because Craig Sager would ask the tough questions and Greg Popovich would give him one word answers. So kind of seeing a trend there now that is carried on. And seeing his son and his daughter carry on his legacy is great. Much like the loss of Stuart Scott, he will definitely be remembered. And he actually got inducted to the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame appropriately so days before. So.
And Cravante?
Man, guys, it was tough, man, because it's like he kept beating it so much. It's like, man, he gonna live forever, man. His body is great. He looked great. He lost a little bit of weight. He was out there reporting and doing all the good stuff. I'm like, oh man. And then boom, just out of nowhere again, and then he passes. And it's tough, man, because man, it's all about making an impact. In the NBA, there's a lot of guys that play basketball. There's a lot of reporters out there. They all do the same thing. So it's really hard to separate yourself from the pack. But Craig Sager found a way to separate himself, and not just what he wore, but he was never scared to get an interview with anybody. We all know Greg Popovich is a very intimidating guy, you know, especially for a young reporter. But Craig Sager, it didn't matter to Craig. Craig didn't matter what he wore. Who are you trying to interview? He just did it. And he would definitely be missed, you know what I'm saying? And it's also a good point that Greg Popovich, you got somebody to say more than two words about you and Greg Popovich, and that's just amazing in itself, man. And Greg Popovich always gave his condolences when he was fighting, and I think that's big, because getting more than two words out of Coach Pop is kind of huge. So he definitely left his mark.
Hey,
just to add one more thing, Mike, quick, Dre. Craig Sager humanized Greg Popovich, man. He kind of humanized him, and Greg was like, hey, man, I'll be nice when you come back. We need you back here. And he went to see him, and it humanized Pop, man. And like Cavante is saying, I don't think a lot of us see that out of him, and we've seen it because of what Craig Sager was going through.
Right, of course. Good point, D. Good point.
Hate to, you know, conclude the segment like that, but, I mean, this is a living legend in the industry, and we have to pay our just dues to him. He will definitely be missed. Rest in peace, Craig Sager. On the other side of this break, y'all, we will be talking about the NFL. This is the Flex Zone on Fox Sports 1340 AM, giving you sports how you want it, when you need it. Rest in peace, Craig Sager. We're back, y'all. The Flex Zone, giving you sports how you want it, when you need it, on Fox Sports 1340 AM. I got my boys with me. Fellas Knight, Mikel is on duty, y'all. So that means your boy, Mr. One and Only, is in the chair. And when we do this segment, it's football, y'all. Talking about what we talk about best. And I'm going to start it off with my brother and his boiling points. Get the stove ready, y'all, for Cravante's boiling points.
All right, guys. Dre, it's still gonna take some getting used to with that. That's the one and only, man. I just got to say that. But
I mean, look. The lady started calling me Mr. Nice Nasty after 10 o'clock, man. The LaDawn Black in Love Zone out.
The R&B music be next.
You know, I am the king of R&B. But.
Oh gosh. Okay. Anyway, guys, we're gonna start. Let's preheat this oven, guys. I'm scared for my man Todd Bowles. His head coaching job. I know he's going to be coaching the Jets for a little bit, but guys, what a trouncing they took against Miami, and it was in New York. Miami not supposed to play well in cold weather, and did Ryan Tannehill play? No, I don't think so. I don't think so. Who was his replacement? It doesn't matter who his replacement was. You can't, as the Jets, you can't. I don't care what your status is for the playoffs. You cannot let Miami roll up in there and beat you like that. No, that is just unacceptable. Mr. Moore? Moore and Bryce Petty. Lord. That game was – I don't know. I don't have any more words for it. But, Todd Bowles, I'm praying for you and your job, because you know how the short lease is off for these head coaches. And, all right, guys, I think the preheat is over. I have to bring it down to Houston, man. Even though Houston is somehow, some way in the top spot for their division, what was that? Brock Osweiler, what is wrong with you? How much money are you making? Please, he is the most overpaid free agent. Forget Josh Norman and all the other folks. He is the most overpaid free agent right now. as far as comparing money to production. Two picks? Really? That's what you're going to do? Come on now. You have to do so much better. And who's the guy that replaced him? His last name is Savage. His last name is Savage. But he played well. I'm trying to tell you, led them all the way back and beat the Jacksonville Jaguars and also getting Gus Bradley a one-way ticket out of Jacksonville. This is crazy. And I think Bronc Arvala has lost his job, and also he will not be in Houston for 4 years. I guarantee that. Book it. I'm done.
All right. Well, let me talk about Tom Savage real quick. For those who don't know, Tom Savage has actually been under Bill O'Brien's why can't I get the head coach's name right? He's been under O'Brien's system for 3 years now. So that gives him a little one-up on Brock Osweiler. I agree with you, Cravante, that he will not be there to conclude his 4 years because you're not going to pay a guy that much money to sit on the bench. And he looks like the most overpriced paid player free agent from this past season, because anytime you got benched and the backup came back and won the game for you, come
on. That sucks. And he is named the starter for next week.
Already.
I forgot to mention that. Sorry, guys. I forgot that little point.
He
lost his job, guys.
How bad can you be to lose your job?
It's so crazy because Houston is probably going to make the playoffs. In spite of him. Right. And Tom Savage is about to be your quarterback going into a playoff game, a wild card matchup.
My Lord, man. That's all you can say.
What is going on, man?
Only in the NFL, man, can this type of stuff happen, man. And then your other boiling point was about the Jets, and we call it Cravante's boiling points. But that seat, and I don't know which seat is hotter in New York right now, if it's the Jets or the Buffalo with Rex Ryan, because both of them seats are boiling right now.
Yes, they are. They're cooking.
But Rex Ryan does it to himself, though. That's his problem. He's doing it to himself.
Yeah, but I mean, with the Jets situation, though, it's not like this team quit on their head coach. They're just underperforming. But
no, they're just grossly underachieving, and they're underachieving at the position you can't underachieve to win. Quarterback.
Wait a minute. Buffalo has a hard time at the quarterback position too, apparently. So,
I mean, but the Buffalo, when was the last time Buffalo had a good quarterback?
Well, Jim Kelly ain't walking through that door anytime soon. But
that's what I'm saying. But the Jets defense is not what it used to be. Nor is Darrell Revis. His island is attached to the rest. It's not an island no more. There's no ocean surrounding it. He's back with the United States now.
I don't know what's going on with either team. Really,
he's not the same, man. I seen somebody run a hitch route on him. He gave the ball a bunch of space. He was like 7-8 yards off. Like, he's playing off man. I'm like, Darrell Reed is playing off man. I couldn't even tell if it was off man or if it was zone. But nonetheless, that's not what Darrell Reed does. That's not what he's known for. He's lost a step. Like, I think he's not one of the top corners in his league no more. Which is not going to be well for the Jets defense.
Anybody else want to weigh in on Cravante's boiling points?
Well, you know, Osweiler deserved what he got. He's been stinking the joint up for the majority of the year. And it's a saying, again, he got the boy from the Wonder Year still a job. It's just such a shame. And I do want to apologize for picking the Jets, everybody. They had a chance in the first half, but Bryce Petty made mistakes, and then he got hurt. And then that other birded guy came in, and it really went down.
Man, you know, man, it's crazy because I let you talk me into that pick, too, because I picked
Miami
first.
But, we were really right upset. For half. We was right.
Yeah, you're right.
Byron, did you want to weigh in?
I give a bowling point to the Ravens coaching staff for calling the pro. On 1st and 10 with a 7-point lead with the best kick in the league. But Cravante, as always, You know, your boiling point, it got me hot.
I'm just saying, man. I know if anything that brought, I don't know. I may not always get you with the preheat, but I always get you with that last one, man.
Yeah, Brock from Pokemon. Got to catch him.
There you go. That's how I called him too.
His eyes are closed. Brock. He's playing with his eyes are closed.
Right, Brock from Pokemon. Look, Nurse Misty ain't around, okay?
Oh, man.
Nurse Misty ain't around.
None of them. Ash ain't dead. No, nobody's there to help.
Oh, my gosh, man.
He did catch all that $72 million, though.
Oh, no, of course not. Of course he did. Come on now.
Byron, are you ready to give us our results from how we did from this past week with our picks?
Yeah, I got good news for everybody but D. Looks like everybody went 11-4 except you, D, because you bet against the best quarterback of all time, Tom Brady.
He was not the best quarterback of all time this week. But Denver's offense messed me up. I needed Peyton Manning out there Sunday. I was Peyton
Jeez.
Manning.
Jeez!
You know
you
what?
Make sure we record that one.
Wow. Oh, we're going to save that soundbite. Don't worry. We will save that soundbite. But we're going to move on, though, and give our weekly picks. You guys ready? You excited? I mean, it's Christmas, y'all. This is the season of giving. First game, Giants-Eagles, Thursday night. Who do you got?
Boy.
Who?
Wait a minute. I like the Giants. Eagles fought hard Sunday. They went for two against the Ravens. Maybe they should not have done that, but I think they got tired of losing some of these close games and say, hey, we were going to win it in regulation or lose it. But I think the Giants will win a very close rivalry game with these.
I mean, anybody else?
Man,
like,
I want to pick the Eagles, but I don't think it's realistic. Just like last week, I picked the Giants, even though I wanted the Lions to win for my own selfish reasons. But I'm going with the Giants, man. The Giants are the better team, and they're hot right now. And the Eagles are not.
Ooh, hot is an understatement. I know I love me some Odell in that offense, but the defense of the Giants has been the difference. They look amazing, all those acquisitions on defense. And don't look now, but the Giants are still one game back of the boys and will be the hottest team in the NFC going to the playoffs.
Which is scary for everybody because when they're like this, that screams Super Bowl.
Yeah, who knows? It could be a rematch between the Giants and the Patriots because right now the Giants is the only team that's had Dallas' number all season.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe a three-peat, a three-peat for them and the Patriots, and also a three-peat for them and the Cowboys again, maybe.
You never know. But I'm going to roll with the G-men. Byron, you don't look too bad on this pick. I mean, there was a stretch when the Giants weren't living up to the Giants, but right now they've coming into their own. Like you said, most people talk about the offense because that's where we thought the bread and butter was going to be with Victor Cruz, ODB, Eli. But now that defense, all the acquisitions, like you said, the offseason moves that they were able to make, it's starting to gel itself together, and the Giants are arguably the best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I agree, man. Because looking at the other teams, the Cowboys and the Seahawks not looking too great. I'm not looking much into the LA, them killing the Rams at all. Because we know Seattle's been up and down all year. Like, they clinched their division already with 9 wins. You know what I'm saying? So I can't look too much into that. And, of course, they beat the Cowboys. They had the Cowboys, their only two losses this year. So, yeah, they're definitely the hottest team right now. May be the best, but as long as Jenkins stays healthy, they got a shot.
All right, the next game, y'all, is the Bills and the Dolphins, Christmas Eve.
Ooh. This is tough.
Where's it going to be at?
It's going to be in Buffalo.
In Buffalo.
Ooh, another cold game for the Dolphins. I would ask if Tannehill's coming back, but it doesn't matter. I don't know. I'm going to go with the Dolphins, man. They're going for – you guys, do you know the Dolphins are in the playoffs right now?
They are. They're 6-8.
Yeah, man. Okay. I think the Broncos offense is going to kick them out the playoffs. But I'm gonna say this. I'm gonna say the Dolphins, and I'm gonna say they're gonna push for the playoffs.
I'm gonna go with the Dolphins just for the simple fact that they're actually really able to run the football, and when you're able to run the football in December, then hey, look, I'm gonna roll with you every time. Despite it being a passing league, when it comes to playoff time, you still gotta have two things: a running game and a good defense. And the Dolphins have been able to actually find their stride a little bit. I know that they lost against the Ravens a couple weeks ago, but the Dolphins are looking like a really good football team. Even without their quarterback, they still were able to beat the brakes off of the New York Jets. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins over the Bills in the divisional game.
I'm going to go with the Bills. I think the Bills are going to rally for Rex Ryan. Sean McCoy had a great day last week. Granted, it was against the Browns, but Sean McCoy had a great day. And I think the Bills edged Miami out, and they remember Miami beat them down in South Beach earlier this year. So I think the Bills are sneak this one.
I actually forgot that Shady McCoy was even in the league. So thank you, D, for that reminder.
Oh, boy. What a shot. What a shot.
So wrong.
What a shot.
Byron, I know you agree with that one.
I want Rex to keep his job because I just love him and make a fool of himself sometimes. I'm going with the folks up in New York for one last hurrah, like D said. Rally for Rex. This might be their last chance to do it.
Rally for Rex on his way out the door, right?
Yeah, because I think he's gone either way.
You know what's so sad is he could actually end up with a winning record. He's at 7-7 now. He could win out, go 9-7, and still may lose his job. And I wouldn't even give a damn because Lovie Smith lost his job with a 10-6 record with Jay Cutler as quarterback and still lost his job.
Who?
Yeah, he gone too. We know.
There ain't no doubt about it.
Oh, God.
All right. Well, we're actually going to talk about a good quarterback. As Byron calls him the greatest quarterback of all time, the Patriots and the Jets. We all rolling with the Pats on this one.
Well, you know what I say. Not only are we going to bring out the drum, we're going to make a call to the bullpen, and we're going to warm them up, D.
it's funny. Yes, it is. I think the Patriots will win, but the Jets always keep it close for them for some reason. I don't know. It's one of them rivalry games. They always find a way to keep it close, though. So. I think Hammer's not going to quite come out, but New England's going to get it done.
I just can't.
It's only right he come out.
I can't help but laugh when.
Oh, I think he's going to come out one of these games. Though.
When Byron says, cue him up, man.
Hey, man, we bring out the bass drum for this one, all right?
Yeah.
Man. And Foxborough is going to be bad. Frank Petty versus Bill Belichick's defensive line, it's going to be ugly.
Well, look, Cravante and Byron, we all went to HBCUs, man. So, in this case, bring out the drum line.
That means turn the game off. We want to see the halftime show.
Is this game may be a blowout before they even make it to halftime.
It might.
Wait, is Michael Floyd going to play in this game?
It might be a little soon.
Yeah, I think they're gonna get ready for that divisional round.
Okay, well, this next game it could be another one. Titans and the Jaguars in Jacksonville. I am so shocked. I know I'm not the only person that's shocked that the Titans beat the Chiefs.
Not only did they beat the Chiefs, but they went for two and missed it. And we thought, not good. And then they was able to kick that long field goal. The former Chiefs field goal kicker got his payback. And now
look at that, man. And they got a shot at the division, man.
Exactly. That's so shocking.
That's right. They play Houston week 17. They play Houston.
Yeah, it's only right. It's coming out the last week of the season.
I cannot believe that.
Tighten up.
The only person who I know picked the Titans over the Chiefs was Sean Yoes, and that's because of his hatred for Alex Smith. I cannot believe the fact that the Titans lost that game. Because like D said, when they couldn't get the two-point conversion, I was like, oh, this game is over. I was like, all right. And then next thing you know, they're like, Titans win. I'm like, Titans win.
What happened? Tighten up.
Shout out to Malarkey. Doing good things down there. And Marcus Mariota.
Anybody named Malarkey, I'm like pish posh, in the words of Mikel. All
right. It's funny because Mariota and Winston's teams are looking pretty good.
Hey, look. Eventually, who knows? We may see these two again. Who knows?
Maybe.
Packers Vikings in Lambeau.
Oh, Byron. With a drum set. Bring a drum set. We bring the whole drum set out this time.
Oh boy.
We bring the drum set out this time.
In the words of D, I don't think this one is going to be a blowout though. I think that this
is always the one that don't want to bring the drums out, man. God.
No, what are you talking about? You said I don't want to bring the drums out?
D's always the one that's like, I don't think it's gonna be a blowout. No, D, bring the drums out, man.
Minnesota disgraced himself. Minnesota disgraced himself last week.
Yeah, it was pretty bad, man. Bring out the drums. Byron, bring out the drums. D, bring out MC Hammer. It's gonna be bad. Answer Lambo. It's going to be bad.
Look, I just think it's a divisional game. The Vikings have already been embarrassed. They don't want to do that again for their head coach. You have Aaron Rodgers right there. Adrian Peterson is back. And what I was saying earlier,
look horrible.
That's horrible. Because the offensive line is just horrible. But
I wouldn't even been in a rush to come back.
I wouldn't have either. Especially with it like being 3 weeks and you ain't going nowhere. But oh well. It's in Lambeau. I'm a roll with the Packers. However, like I said, it's a divisional game. The Vikings did have a tough defense, so I'm a roll with the Packers in this game, but my gosh, I mean this team started out 5-0 and just fell all the way off.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying, man. It's a different world in the NFL, man. It's week to week. Quarter by quarter, I mean, it's so different, man. You can't take anything for granted. They were the last undefeated team standing, and they're not gonna make the playoffs. I'm just gonna say they're not gonna make the playoffs.
Yeah, they definitely.
Now, but the Packers have found a running game. Their defense is playing well. It looks a little bit like the 2010 team.
Relax, guys. Relax. Remember that. Relax.
That's right. Relax.
Looks a little bit like the 2010 team. Tom Montgomery looking good.
And also, the Packers have to play the Lions, I think, at the end of the year. So
end of the year for the division, because we all know that the Lions are going to lose to the boys next week. So, I'm sorry, this week. Yes, the Lions will lose to the boys this week. So, yes, it'll come down to that last game in the season. Chargers at the Browns. We already know the Chargers are going to win this game.
Hey.
I just said, D, what did you say earlier?
No. Flip Rivers. We don't get it done. No, go ahead and think about it. That's what happened.
My gosh, can the Browns win? One, Jesus.
If he loses to the Browns, I'll kick him off my bus.
Get out of here.
I mean, yeah, I'm just Browns, saying.
I said a couple weeks ago, the Browns are going 0-16. Like, I feel like week 8, week 9, I was like, they're going 0-16. They're not winning any games.
Does the Pittsburgh got anything to play for week 17? Yes, he is. Pittsburgh got anything to play for? It's going to be over.
Johnny United rolling around in his grave. Modell rolling around in his grave.
I mean, geez. Jim Brown. Jim Brown probably ashamed of this team right now. Like, what are y'all doing?
No. It's so bad. Jim Brown went up to meet with Trump. That's how bad it is.
I'm out of here. I'm off. I'm out of here, guys. Finish the show without me. I'm out of here. I can't do it anymore.
So he had to meet with Trump for a bailout. He's like, can you bail the Browns out? Can you bail them out?
It's nothing that could be done about the Browns, man. Not this time. It's nothing that could be done. It's just a bad organization, and unfortunately, it's like it's getting worse.
Well, speaking of bad organizations,
just don't pick a quarterback. For heaven's sake, don't pick a quarterback.
It's the Bears and the Washington Football Club.
Oh, no, this game. No, this game. Da 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 da.
Come on. Please bring out the drums. Yeah, please get him a
no, no, no. The
But the Bears had a chance last week against Green Bay because it was a rivalry game. They have no shot this week. No shot.
Only thing I'm scared about is that it's in Chicago. I don't know how we're going to play in the we're in cold weather, so I guess. But I think we should dominate. We should be in and out, guys.
Well, everybody's rolling with Washington, so.
Yep.
On to the next one. Falcons at the Panthers. I'm rolling with the Falcons.
Bring them drums out. Bring them drums out.
It'll be competitive, but Atlanta's going to win.
I think Atlanta's going to pull away late. Hopefully my team can hand the Panthers a loss leading going into this game. But this is a divisional game, so the drums may not get brought out. But then again, I don't know. I think the Falcons are going to pull away late and make it look bad.
Well, Julio play? That's the big question. Will he play?
I don't know, man. He's been taking weeks off. Like, he just chilling. I think he went on vacation. I'm not sure. But hopefully. Yeah, they kind of need him. I kind of need him for this one.
All right. This next game may finally be a competitive game. Colts, Raiders. Wait a minute. I'm sorry, y'all. The Raiders.
Say what?
You better say competitive?
Like, I don't think Andrew will be better.
Andrew Luck body might be saying something different, man.
I don't know.
Him and Khalil Mack might be together for us.
and it's not because Andrew Luck wants them to be. I think it's going to be bad, the Raiders. It might be bad. It's in a black hole.
And the playoff foul Raiders.
Hey. I told you they won the division when the season started. I told you. They're coming. They're going to get it. They're going to get it.
All right. So everybody's rolling with the Raiders, pretty much?
Yep.
What happened to the Colts, man? I must ask.
Nothing. What do you mean what happened to the Colts? The Saints has been happening since anyone's been there.
Saints, Buccaneers, this is so hard to pick the Saints. It's in New Orleans, but the Buccaneers have just been on a roll.
Nope, and except for last week. Well, except for this previous week.
Well, they almost pulled it off, though.
Drew Brees is back, folks. He'll play well.
I'm a roll with the Saints, but it wouldn't surprise me if the Buccaneers pulled it off.
I'm going to say the Buccaneers go and get it done. I think Jameis Winston has become a leader. I like what I'm seeing out of him so far. He is not Jameis no more. He is Jameis Winston. He's becoming a winner.
Thank you for saying that, dear. I appreciate it.
I'm just saying. Three picks not going to help the cause, baby.
Nah. You can't play like you played against Dallas. No, can't you?
And it's not the Bucs' defense. It's the offense. The offense just stalls out sometimes. And you can't stall out against the Saints in any part of the game because the Saints will run you out the building.
Right. Looking at defense, has been playing a lot better, though.
The Bucs defense has been playing well pretty much majority of the year. They have 8 wins.
Next game is the Cardinals, Seattle, in Seattle.
I'm going to roll with
Seattle.
Run to the Cardinals D, man.
I don't know. They played well against us, which makes me mad. But against everybody else, it's like, I don't know. Because you can't depend on Carson Palmer.
Nah, he definitely can. I know Drake said he likes Seattle. David Johnson has had a great couple seasons so far, but Arizona's done. Seattle's going to roll on.
He needs to get out of there. He's the only – him and Larry Fitzgerald are the only bright points or the bright spots in Arizona.
All right, so the next game after that is 49ers at the Rams.
Oh goodness.
Seahawks, by the way, and the 49ers, man, the 49ers might be worse than the Browns, even though they got to win. I'm just saying,
well,
that game is bad.
This is the funny part. This is the only one they got in week one against the Rams.
Look at that. I think the Rams, Rams will get it done.
And the words of Byron Early and Charles Bartley, Steve Young is voting over in his grave. Joe Montana voting over in his grave.
Who is playing quarterback for the 49ers?
Me, Dre. I'm going out there, and we're going to get it done.
It's going to be you to me all day, man.
I'm out there, man. They say they're paying me. I said, okay, I'm there.
This is one that it shows if the Rams want Fossil to be the head coach, they'll fight for him and win this game. If not, then he won't be the coach. But I take the Rams in a 10-3 type of game.
The Rams called me for the job, and I just said, hey, man, listen, Jeff Fisher can't be there. That's all I said. That was my only – I just said, Jeff Fisher got to go. If he goes, I'm in there. They called me.
He is a USC grad, Cavante. He might be hanging around the Coliseum.
Hey, and I'm getting him out of there. I mean, I'm going to have Eric Dickerson on the sidelines with me. But like, get him out of here.
It'll be like the Sandman off of Showtime at the Apollo.
Get him out of here.
Well, I'm seeing an article that's talking about Christian Ponder maybe possibly suiting up.
Who?
Christian Ponder for the 49ers. My gosh. So
he's still in the NFL?
Yeah. So
you mean what you call his husband over ESPN?
So I'm a roll with the 40. I'm a roll with the Rams. Next game is the Bengals and the Texans. Sunday Night Football, and as Cravante says, when it's prime time, the Bengals don't show up, so I'm going to roll with the Texans.
Indeed. I did pick this team to win the division, and I'm going to stick with it. Go Tom Savage.
Tom Savage is going to get it done.
So 1 year against Marvin Lewis and what's left of his job. Let's see.
I think his seat is hot too, Dre.
His seat ain't hot, y'all. No, D, who do you have, though, for Bengals or Texans?
I take Houston at home.
Okay. 49, Steelers, Raven Steelers.
Ooh, wow.
Christmas Day.
Here we go.
Wow.
I'm rolling with the Ravens.
You know, the Ravens always seem to have Steelers' number. Despite how well these two teams are playing, the Ravens have had their number, I guess, over the past few years. But the Steelers need this game, man, because if the Ravens win, that might be for the division and for the playoff spot. One more time, I'm going with the Steelers. One more time.
All right,
Steelers offense is on fire. They can score. I will. Ravens might have a long day.
So you're going with the Steelers, and D, who you rolling with?
It's just tough. Tough, man.
Well, we don't have much time, D, in the segment, so, I mean, you got to pick somebody, baby.
I'm going to pick the Ravens, but if I hear one more press conference of them making stupid excuses and stupid situations, I'm going to have a real boiling point with Cavante.
All right. Chiefs, Broncos. Chiefs, Broncos. I'm rolling with the Chiefs at home.
Chiefs.
Yeah, Denver looks done.
Denver's offense is going to get them kicked out of the playoffs.
All right, then it's Monday Night Football, Lions at the Boys. I'm going to roll with the Boys.
Cowboys. Come on, Lions, but I'm going with the Cowboys.
All right, Cowboys. All right, y'all. This concludes the segment. You've been listening to the Flex Zone on Fox Sports 1340 AM, the only place that can give you sports how you want it, when you need it. We want to thank True Sounds for our theme song. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, follow us, and comment on Twitter at the Flex Zone 1 and Instagram at the Flex Zone 1. If you have any questions, ideas, or possibly want to be a guest, send us an email to theflexzone1@gmail.com. I am your executive producer. Cravante is our senior producer. Byron is our associate producer. Our marketing team consists of Ava, D. Mikel is our host. Ty is our engineer. And Byron, like that?
We go.
Hey. Happy Christ Day, everybody.
Merry Christmas.